How we doing, Scotty? Right. Guys all seem so far away. How we all doing? That's good, that's distracting. Do you want the good news or the bad news? Good news? Once I'm done, we get to go home. Bad news, this is gonna take like an hour and a half, so Daniel don't go lock the doors so no one can leave for me. Nah, not at all. We'll just see how we go and I'll keep an eye on the time. And how fidgety everyone gets, myself included. Right, so who has been here for the past, I think it's 6 weeks, over the Lord's Prayer series that we've had in church? How good has it been? We've had, I think it's gone like this: Ben, Ben, Kim, Ben, and Jenna. All speak into sort of started the wider context, then we've gone through each line of the Lord's Prayer. And what I've been tasked with today, and I put it like that, is to look into, sorry, to I guess finish up with the last, it's not really the last line of the prayer, but the last phrase. And then find, encourage you guys with, I guess, the way to make this prayer practical in our life. So, what we're going to do today, or what I'm going to attempt to do, is, you know what, we're just going to crack in and I'll explain it as we go. Might be easier. So first things first, have we all got a phone or a pen and piece of paper on us? Because you're going to need it. I'll just wait till you get them out and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. Yeah. So what you're going to do is I want you to write down a prayer request, need or desire that you have. All right? Does it can be whatever you like. I'm not too worried because I'm sure we've all got at least one thing on our heart that we've been praying for lately. And as we go through, just keep that in the back of your mind because at the end, it'll all make sense as to what we're going to do with it. All right, so in week one, Ben sort of shared about the wider context surrounding the Lord's Prayer. He sort of spoke to the scripture, either side of it, and built a picture for us in terms of the setting in which it was received, and how basically Jesus grabbed his disciples. They went and chilled out on a mountain, and he started doing what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And within that, he's, I guess, taught them about, showed them, spoke to them about the Lord's Prayer. And something that really interesting came out of that from Ben was in and around how the disciples were seasoned prayer, but prayer was their life. There was a real steep tradition in Jewish culture to pray. And the thing that really stuck out to me was, it's in Luke, but at the beginning of it, it says, "Teach us how to pray." Teach us how to pray. And Ben really, he made this little throwaway comment, but it really captured me, and it was, "Teach us how to pray, not what to pray." And it got me thinking about the Lord's Prayer as a whole, is that it is a framework. If we capture the essence of each verse or each line of that prayer, there's like a theme or there's these little keys. And if we capture each of those keys that can inform our prayer life moving forward, it's almost like a grid that we can use. And when we're not using the Lord's Prayer, we can still take the heart of it and apply it to our prayer life. And that's what we're going to attempt to do today. Well, I'm going to attempt to try and highlight and show that to you. So then moving into week two, we'll know what the next line is. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And Ben spoke about how the word Father is Abba in the Aramaic. Something that I found really interesting is quite a few commentators were really made a really I made a real point of that he was using the word Father, not the word Daddy, Dad, Papa, but the word Father, and it's because it's a term of intimacy, but also a term of respect. And father is a word used by children, right? So to be able to call someone father, you need to be a child. And I thought that was so profound. for us to be able to call the Lord Father, we actually need to be a child of God. We actually need to say yes. And for it to really, I guess, to experience the depths just of that first line, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We actually need to say yes to God and come to him as a child. Ben used this phrase, God wants you to know him as good, and at the same time, he wants you to know him as great. God wants you to know him as good, and at the same time, he wants you to know him as great. So the key that I almost messed up there, obviously, is that I was thinking about the very first line of that prayer is about how we posture our heart, how we come to God. We come to him as a child. But then the other half of that first line is wonder, the whole thing of reverence, just standing in awe and understanding he's magnificent. And you think that's quite it's such an interesting way to come to someone. First to come in that real intimate, loving father, but also standing there in awe of who he is. And if we can hold that balance, there's something really unique and special in that. And it got me thinking around, if we're to come as posture ourselves, as a son, what is it that we expect from our father? Like, what's the role of a father? And just a few things that came to mind is like protector, comforter, provider, for strength, teacher, guidance. In my own language, I called it real talk. We can come and be raw and vulnerable. We come to listen. And when we come to listen, we might not like the things that we hear, but because they've come from our father, because they've come from that comforter, that provider, we listen and take those on board. So when we first come, I guess when we bring our prayer request or our need, if we come in this posture of a son, but also on wonder, we can come in that space of looking for our protector, our comforter, our provider, strength, teacher, guidance, have that real talk. It's what a way to meet God, right? In that space as a child. And I found with myself that with the whole avenue of hallowed and reverence, as I'm just standing there in the goodness of my dad, sitting in the goodness of my father, just having me time with him, I always just found you guys all know the phrase, but it just keeps, when I'm trying to pray, this is all that will come out when I'm, I guess, in this space of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is good all the time, God is good. And I haven't been able to move past that. So sometimes when I come, recently when I come to pray, that's as far as I'm getting. Because I just get lost in the wonder of our Father. So what I'm going to do as we go through, I'm just going to talk to you a little about something I've been praying about over the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks and try and, I guess, give you a small practical application for it. So at the moment at work, I'm in the middle of pretending to be the boss. I say that because they call it an acting sergeant. So I guess the equivalent is being like a manager of a team, and it comes with a bucket load of responsibility. And sometimes you are the person, there's no one to lean on to for that responsibility. So it's been a huge learning curve. And when, funnily enough, driving into work is the best time for me to pray into this. To be fair, it's been all-consuming. You can ask Brooke. I haven't been sleeping too well lately, all those kinds of things, because when I do something new, I get fully immersed in it. And the way in which I learn is I debrief all the time. So my poor brain gets an absolute hammering. And at the moment, I am learning lots. So when on my way in, I'll come to the Father, and I'm just being honest with him. I'm scared. I lay down my worries. I come to him for a pep talk. I'm vulnerable, but also express my excitement and uncertainty at the same time. So it'll look like something like Or I say dad, even though I just told you it's about that term of respect, because that's how I relate to a father. But like, hey dad, I'm freaking out today. I need you big time. I'm worried, I'm scared, I need you to pump me up. I'm super excited for the opportunity, and I'll explain why when we get to the next one. But man, I need you right now. And as it started off like this, I noticed the prayer language started to change as I worked my way through this, and there'll be less of the fear and more of the excitement. So just because we all know that everything's really fluid and it's not always about laying down our worries and fears, we can also talk about how excited we are. Right, so into week three, come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it in heaven. And in his language, he gave us the divine hamburger. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's such a good analogy for that particular verse. And he made this really, really simple. I love what Gina said last week about how God is simple but not simplistic. Like at the heart of who he is, what he teaches us is simple, but it's not simplistic. And Kim dropped one of these little nuggets when he was speaking into this particular verse. And he mentioned that, so when you say yes to Jesus, you have a new rule or new ruler, new heart condition, and that's the kingdom. You have the authority of the kingdom within you, and so when we pray from that authority. We are the carriers of that kingdom. We'll just pause on that one for a minute. That's so profound, so deep that we could probably just go home now, to be fair. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it heaven. I guess the thing for me, like the essence of that is all about perspective. So we move from posturing ourselves to as a son in an awe of God, and that it almost sets us up to be able to look at this from a new perspective. Sometimes we get so inward, or we can be really outward, and we can lose sight of who it is that we're praying to and who it is that guides us. And if when we move through prayer, we go, like I said, as posture ourselves as a son. We have that awe, which then allows us to shift into this whole thing of perspective. And the keys to the of perspective I've kind of summed up as desire/dreams, obedience, and partnership. So perspective, what is his will? I'm not going to answer that for you. These are things for you guys to go and dig up and have conversation with each other. But just think about it. What is his will? For four words is such a blooming... You could spend your whole life discovering this. But what is his will? And I'll give you a little tip or a little hint. It's to do with his desires and his dreams for you and your own desires and dreams. But you put those to God and work out where they fit in his kingdom. And if they are part of the kingdom, because not every desire and dream we have, it may be good. It may bring life to people, but it doesn't always mean it's his will for you. Which is can be a really challenging thing to navigate through. Yeah, so I'll just put here, what does the kingdom look like in? And insert any desire, dream you have, any aspiration you have. What does the kingdom look like in your workplace? Being a father or mother, being a husband, being a friend. What does the kingdom look like that? This is a cool space to ask the Father. I kind of just alluded to this before. I have this dream desire. Is it your will for me? Is it of the kingdom? What is the kingdom in that space? You're gaining that perspective. So when you feel like you hear the answer or get the green light or have a clear understanding of that perspective, next comes, it should be partnership before obedience, but each to your own. Next thing comes, yes, I'll do that, and then comes the partnership with God. Sounds real simple, right? We've got heaps of people in our house. We just heard about Alistair with, like, if you knew his backstory to around getting to the Solomons and having to bring his dream to God for years and years and years to see things shift. He's like just starting to really see, getting a taste of the fullness of what that looks like. But that's through constantness, regaining that perspective and asking him, is it your will? Is the time now? This is my dream. This is my desire. Chuck Smith, don't ask me who he is, but I've got to quote him because I really like what he had to say in and around Will. I'm just going to read this little comment here, or little thing that he wrote. I thought this was really profound when it comes to God's will and how it works with our own sense of choice. So God has given us the capacity of choice, and God honours our choices and will not violate our free will. God will only do for us what I am willing to do for him. So, I'm going to start again. I'm not going to try and make it us. I'm just going to use it how he wrote it. God has given me the capacity of choice, and God honors my choice and will not violate my free will. God will only do for me what I am willing for him to do for me and what I allow him to do for me. Well, therefore, prayer is opening the door to God to do the things for me that he was planning and wanting to do all the while, but would not do against my will. What a mouthful. Basically, when we come to God, it's up to us to be available. Like, don't get me wrong, he'll bang on that door, he'll kick that door in if he's got something he wants you to do and he knows that you're capable, and it might be the breakthrough or the encouragement or the kickstart to your walk that you'll need. But once you're in relationship and partnership with him, he is not going to impose himself on you, make you uncomfortable, make you go against your very being if you're not willing to let him. That is what makes us different from everyone else, is this power of free will. And when I read this, I was like, this makes the garden make so much more sense now. This is everywhere where I read in the Bible, and all our heroes along the way make, we'll say, sometimes questionable choices or go directly against God. This makes total sense. So for myself, when I've been working my way through praying and bearing my heart out to the Father as a child and standing in awe of him, and I come into your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask him, what kind of OC, or that's our language, so what kind of acting sergeant do you want me to be? What kind of standards do you want me to set? How does the kingdom look like in this space? And I hear a whole bunch of things I don't like, because that means I'm going to have to push myself, get out of my comfort zone. But when I hear that clear direction, it makes it really easy to make decisions, especially when it comes to setting team culture. Or so like a big part of the role is that we attend things and we submit reports, and I have to review those reports and I send them back if it's missing things or maybe not written quite the right way. And I've had to navigate for myself, what is my standard when it comes to report? It seems really simple, but the thing I guess to understand is that report could be read in 5 years' time. A lot of times they go to external agencies and partners with the police and they read these things, and others review it, and they will get sent, will be tasked to do things if it's not clear as to what's happened and what action's taken. So it seems like a little thing, but man, it's been a really big deal for myself and what standard to set. But asking God what to do, what does the kingdom look like there, and what is your will in this space, has made it really simple to have those hard conversations. The other side of this is your kingdom come, your will be done. What has made me really consider, like, what's my call again? What's my purpose? What is it that has God had me here for? It sounds really intense, but it's a real fun space to be in. but we can't stay there. Like, we actually, if we're going to ask the question, we need to listen and be prepared to hear what we hear, and then actually action it, right? There's that obedience and partnership side of it. And for me, like, I've always had a dream when I went to college, I had to come back and be a sergeant and then help train the next recruits that are coming out onto the street. And this is like the next step, progressing towards that. But like I said, it's really uncomfortable. It gets me to have to do a whole bunch of things that I don't like doing within the job, but it's been really good. And it's easy to do things that stretch you when you have that dream, that desire, when you have that, when you feel like you're actually living out the will of God in your life. And what's been really cool is as I've progressed through each week or each day when we're praying and in the midst of the chaos and, like I said, all the learning, is that just sitting in the middle of it, have this peace because I know it's the will of God and it just feels right. And I can't explain it to you like I know this is where I'm meant to be and this is what I'm doing. And this has all come from your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I posture myself as a son. And I talk to him just about how I'm doing. I stand in awe of him. I gain his perspective. And then you come alive. You know, I've been left with a sense of purpose. And I don't really care who you are. We all desire purpose. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that is where we come alive. And that, so God gives, and what's cool is, when I say God gives us our purpose, right, when we say yes to him, we discover our purpose. Right, week four. Back to Ben. Give us today our daily bread. In a nutshell, Ben really like honed in on it's a daily confession of our dependence of what we need. He talks about a need versus a want. And I always love hearing that conversation because everyone has a different perspective on what that means and their definition of what a need and a want is. If you want to know his perspective, you're going to have to go have a listen. And it talks about, he really looked at, like I said, daily confession of dependence of what we need and provision for the present. So we've just come from praying into your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And sometimes we get the real big picture, sometimes we get the daily picture. Because I always, like I said, get lost in the awe and start to think about purpose. I feel like give us today our daily bread reorientates us into the now because we've got to live in both. So hence why I put there is the theme is being present. And the keys to this has been self-aware and humble to ask. I don't know about you guys, but I've had a real journey of having to learn how to ask for things and to accept good things. Hey, some of you guys might be really good at it, and I am super jealous of you. Just a little thought I had in around giving us today our daily bread, being present. I always remember learning this phrase a few years ago. Like, who do I need God to be for me today? Who do I need God to be for me today that he hasn't been before? Then on the flip side, who does God need me to be today? And who does God need me to be today that I haven't been before? Who does he need me to be? He will answer and he will provide. So going back just about what I've been sharing in relation to the stuff at work, a lot of this daily provision is crying at my end, screaming out for help. I need you, I need you. One big thing I find I'm always praying for is the grace to learn, not to be afraid to make a decision and worry about what others will think or do. Something else I discovered, it's really lonely being the boss. So I've gone from where I'm always paired up with working with someone 19 hours a shift to now just being on my own in the car. And we are built for connection. We're built for intimacy, and I love getting to know people and that kind of thing. And that's really dumb being on your own because you don't get to do that. So having the grace to deal with loneliness, I didn't realize how lonely it was until you're in that space. And then for myself, it's always been a hallmark of who I am, but self-confidence and doubt is something that always seems to be lurking at my door. And having the grace to deal with that, to remember the... So one of my daily needs is I have to speak the testimony of where I've overcome that before. And let's just say our Father, he's really good at reminding you. When I find in the moment when I'm put before me, whether it's a critical situation or a big decision, I have to make that decision. I find that's when the grace comes. He reminds me that I've done it before. I've had all these different experiences which help form that decision. So it's a very fluid and in the moment experience I find with to give us our daily bread. All right, so week 5. Forgive us our debts, and we've also forgiven our debtors. I don't know if if Ben said this or not, but this, I just remember this clearly coming out of this time. To ask for forgiveness, we must be willing first to forgive. I see we're all like, yeah, yeah, but... It's not like, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. First look at ourselves before, you know, we look outwards. Ben Short shared this story about himself and Sarah having some friends. They sort of had a conversation with someone and they've kind of, say, gossiped, misinterpreted. And he became really hurt by it, and he talked about he's a peacemaker and stuff, and this really affected him. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for years. And he found himself having to forgive this person multiple times over multiple years. And he talked about how the way in which we, forgiveness is tested, or we know if we've forgiven someone, is the heart test. When you hear, insert that person's name, how do you respond? How do you react to that name? And I found that really interesting how he talked about it took him years and years to forgive this person, because I think about Jesus and how his is, he's one and done. And then it makes me think, then I go back to that whole thing at war, like, my goodness, he's a one and done, forgiven kind of guy. Like, how great is he? Especially when there's people that we look to and we hear how long it can take them to forgive others. So kind of, I guess, the heart of... this line of scripture, I've just called it renewing our heart. Like, we need to get our heart right with ourselves, so we can allow others to get their heart right with us. It's all about restoring relationship, being set free from offense. It's not, when we forgive someone, right, it's not just setting yourself free, setting them free, but all of a sudden, the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act changes, because you're no longer harboring that offence or that hurt towards that person. And I don't know about you guys, but when you're hurt by someone, I don't tend to speak too well of them at the best of times. But once they're forgiven, I notice that I'm their biggest champion. So I guess that goes down to the heart, right? If you're not sure about where you're at with forgiving someone, look at the way you speak about them, your behaviour around them, the things that you think about them. I put in here, like, the goal of forgiveness is falling back in love with someone, is regaining that love for that person. Alright. Good news, we're almost there. Right, so for work, this is probably a really interesting thing that I've had to navigate, because I was like, I'm not offended by these guys one bit at all. I love my team. Yeah, ignorance is bliss. I've been learning when to, within forgiveness, right? I've been learning when to confront someone. Just because you're offended and upset does not mean you need to confront that person, but you do need to forgive them. And this might be a real simple thing, for you guys, but this thing I've really been honing and learning on, and I find that when I get to this part of the prayer daily, I start to ask God, do I need to confront that person about this offense? I will forgive them, but do I need to go raise this issue with them? Does it need to be done in private, one-on-one, or in a public setting, or not at all? Do I need to have that confrontation? And the reason this question comes up is that just because I'm the boss now, in about 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be back in the car working with these guys. So I don't have, like, I have to navigate those relationships. And that's when it dawned on me that you may have, like, Alistair may have upset me. I forgive him, and because once I forgive him, the slate's clean, right? I don't need to have that conversation with him because I realise it's not worth bringing that. It might unlock a whole bunch of stuff for them, and it's not going to be healthy for the team or for our relationship. So I guess within the space of forgiveness, we need to learn when do we confront someone that's hurt us. I'll leave that with you there. It's a real interesting conversation to have. Right. When I was doing this, I went back through and listened to everyone's message over a very short space of time, and it was really good, really intense, but it was a grind, I'm not going to lie. But it was really good to get into the flow of what's been shared. And when we came to this forgiveness thing, I had this thought, do you know who the hardest person to forgive is? 100% ourselves. I find that I am my biggest condemner when I've done something that I've been upset by, and for myself, integrity, I'll live and die by integrity. So once I compromise it, my world ends. And man, you can go on a downward spiral. And that's why at the very beginning, we first have to forgive. What did I say? I'm trying to remember now. To ask for forgiveness, we must first be willing to forgive. It's not just those that have upset us, but when we've upset ourselves. It is such a... Especially when you feel like you've violated your own morals and thinking. I found it really interesting that why wouldn't forgiveness be at the top of the prayer, in the top of this prayer that Jesus has given us? And why wouldn't it be before give us our daily bread? Wouldn't it be easier to address offense and have everyone forgiven, then ask for what we need for the day? But then I realize God gives unconditionally. He wants to give us good things whether we're sitting in an offense, whether we're not willing to move past whatever is going on between yourself or with someone else. He's still going to give us good things. He's still going to give us grace for the day. He's still going to provide those things. And to be fair, that floored me, realizing that he gives without condition. He loves us unconditionally. All right. Week 6, Jenna. And I'm not even going to try and attempt to sum up what she told share with us last week. That was just... It was so good, and there's so much packed into there that I can only encourage you to go back and listen to it. She kind of summed up her whole message in and around lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one with this one sort of. She took us on the journey, and this is where we finish. Don't bring us into a trial, but draw us close to your heart and away from the harm of our enemy if it happens. And she talks, and here we go, I'm going to try to summarise now. She talks about how temptation is a trial, and it's a test of who we are, and they're designed for us to succeed, not to fail. She talks about the word deliver, how it's actually about a drawing in closer to God. So the whole thing about even we don't want the trials, but the trials will come. If we fail the character or the virtue test, God will draw us in closer. It's designed for us to succeed. So I kind of found the essence of this was connection. God wants us to stay connected through good character I don't hate using the word fall. If we have a bit of a stumble, if we, like I said, not pass that character test, he will draw us back in to restore that connection. He'll have the hard conversations with us, but he wants us to stay connected with him at all time. And I guess the keys to connection, like I've just talked about, character, consistency. Our consistency and God's consistency. When we're in this space praying, it's all about speaking into the, I guess the consistency of God, that He will never leave us or forsake us. And then I put integrity, personal integrity and God's integrity. The reason I put God's integrity is if He says that, He'll do it. So He said He'll draw us in close, He'll draw us in close. It doesn't matter how far we stumble or fall, He will draw us in close again. So in this space, I was thinking about how lead us not into temptation, right? And it's all about protecting our connection and restoring our connection. That whole thing again. We're integrous people. We love God. We face these trials. Let's protect that connection by having that kingdom perspective that we've just talked about. But again, if we don't quite hit the mark, He'll draw us in and restore that connection. So what I found really interesting around with temptation is that it wasn't so much physical things with the job, but it was all around my own insecurities, being tempted by the way I felt, withdrawing. When I get frustrated with someone, I guess like gossiping or promoting disconnection with the words that I use, and I need to be very careful with that because right, that reflect everyone will follow your lead within that space. Yeah, so I just found that really interesting in that space. I was praying a lot in and around my own personal insecurities, and when I feel insecure, I withdraw and I try and hide, which isn't a very good mentality, right, or a good thing for someone that's leading a group of people. And then within this, I found that it's just a continuous reflection of those things that we are aware that will trip us up, but not be afraid of that trial when it comes. We have to face those insecurities to show that we've developed that character, that we're on that journey with God, that we've accessed that daily bread that we're talking about, that we've forgiven those people. We're doing the will of the kingdom. We see Him as Father. We stand in that awe. Right. Now for the tricky bit. This week. The bit that I was, the scripture that I, half of the scripture I was given that exists in some Bibles and not in others. Do we all know what this is? For yours is the kingdom, the power and glory forever. Amen. And you know what? When I saw this and I went to read it in the Bible that I have and it wasn't there, I was like, this has got to be a stitch up. What has been doing to me? Yeah, I heard that and get a real Bible. Yeah. I say don't be stuck in the past, but that's okay. Yeah, no, not at all. So for yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. So what was interesting, this is in, so in the translations, it's not present in Luke's transcription, if you like. And then it is in some translations of Matthew. And what this is a doxology. And I'm literally just going to read you what a couple of things in relation to doxology. So, the prayer is called a doxology from the Greek word meaning an expression of glory or praise. Christians usually use this as a way of summing up all their feelings and intentions at the end of some long prayer. That's a really bad Google version, but I quite liked how there's so much truth, but so much ignorance in that space. And then someone that has spent their life studying this, they kind of sum it up, the doxology like this. The prayer is likely to have been originally given and used with the form of a concluding doxology, and they've got in brackets here, an essential element of the Jewish prayers. probably is a congregational response. And from what I can piece together, because I ain't no scholar, is that in Jewish tradition, they ended prayers of doxologies, and they feel like we're through translating and people reading these, that some, if it was so steeped in their tradition that they like this didn't have an ending to the prayer, so they've added this to it, and you can take or leave it. But what I love about this particular, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," is it brings you back to that wonder. It brings you back to when we get, you think when we start praying through and we come to Father, start talking to him, we get in the awe, we get that perspective, we ask for that daily provision, then we hit the heavy stuff of forgiveness and temptation. We can get lost in, I don't want to say the dirtiness of life, but now start wallowing in our own stuff. We get brought back to his wonder and remember that it's all going to be all good because he's got us. "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Your will be done." The power, your provision, and the glory forever. We are here for you. So in here I've just put the key, real simple, wonder, awe, humility, and peace. What I love about this is that it doesn't matter where when we finish with this, is that I always leave with a sense of peace, that he's got this. Ultimately, where I walk with him, I partner with him, I remain obedient to him, and his peace will follow. Doesn't matter if we're in the midst of crisis or in the midst of goodness, his peace will follow. And what this, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever," it reminded me of some advice I got on my wedding day. I got pulled aside by my best man at the time, and not Daniel. He wasn't even on the scene, so there you go. He said to me, basically, you need to stop and take a snapshot. Take like a mental snapshot, a mental photo at different moments throughout the day, just so you stop and take it all in. Stop and soak it all in. And that's what I feel like this does here. "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." It's a moment in time to take a snapshot of what you've been praying about, a snapshot of his awe, his glory, and his goodness, and that peace. And it's really weird, it works. Like, I still have these mental pictures I stopped and took. There's lots of it I don't remember, but there's these moments where I've actually gone, and I was a bit of an egg, but I'd be like, it was like a physical thing that I did, but it has left these impressions burnt into my mind. Right, so we've got our prayer need. If you go to the last slide, Scotty. Really hard to read because I don't have the technical skills to make it better for you guys. But basically, one side's the scripture, the other side's what we talked about, these themes and keys. So you guys who have your prayer thing that you've written down. And it'll take some practice, but I'd encourage you to put it through that grid. And the easiest way to start is just to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debtors as you have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen." Even if we just practice that and we dwell on that, there's so much, as we've found out, there's so much goodness, right? And we've only really, to be fair, scratched the tip of the iceberg over these past 6 weeks. And I was just thinking before, like Ben said, yep, this is meat and veg, it's simple, it's the bread and butter, you know. But I was like, man, I love meat and veg, pour some gravy on that thing and I'm good to go. I could have that every day. But that's what meat and veg is, right? It's that comfort food. It's there, it's always there, it's consistent, it's just daily goodness. And then I guess where I'm going with this is on the right hand side, is it on your right? Yeah, cool. When we're praying, try and follow this whole thing of posture, perspective, being present, renewing our heart, connection and wonder. And I've been practicing this myself. And like I said, sometimes I don't even get past posture. I get stuck there, and then on a good day, I'll get to perspective. Not on a good day, just when I'm finally can see through all my tears, I can get to perspective. And one day, I'll get to being present and then renewing our heart. But it will, I promise you, that it will, your prayer life will change significantly. I can't express what it does when we first posture ourselves. We have that perspective. We start being present. And today, like our daily needs for today, when we start forgiving ourselves and others, when we start fighting for connection, we start praying for connection, we start believing for that connection around that whole thing of temptation, and then you get to just sit there in his absolute awe and wonder and have that peace. All right, I might just do, I'm going to pray, but I ain't going to go. What I literally just encourage you to do, I just want to affirm you guys within this. And then, you know what, I'll let Alistair kind of direct you with what we'll do. So yeah, Lord, Father, I just thank you that you love each and every one of us. I just thank you that you are magnificent. I just thank you that when we take the time to sit in your presence, we are left in just in awe. I just thank you that when we pray that you invite us into intimacy first, you invite us to be real, you invite us in to be forever present and connected with you. I just thank you that your heart is for us to thrive, and for us to thrive is to live out your will, is to live out your will that you have for us. Not when we get to heaven, but when we're on earth. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you that you're ready now. You want us to partake in that divine hamburger. Yeah, Lord, I just... There's something so powerful about being present in the moment. There's something about being, I get reminded all the time about I need to be present with my kids. And when you are, glorious things happen, Lord. And I just pray that when we come to you with our prayer, that we remember to be present in the moment, be present with what you have for us, that we ask that question, does God need to be for us today? And who do I need to be for God today? Yeah, Lord, let that just consume our heart. Yeah, Lord, and I just thank you that forgiveness is such an incredible thing. You're like, it's the one thing that I aspire to be, is to be one and done, Lord. And I just pray that would be on our hearts, that we could forgive someone once, restore that connection, and fall back in love with people. And I just pray for people that are here today that are really struggling to forgive themselves for whatever it is that they've violated in their own, I guess, like heart contract with you, Lord. We give them the freedom, give them the permission, but more importantly, the grace to say it's okay, to restore that connection with you, to go after you, Lord. And yeah, we just stand again in your goodness and your awe and your wonder. And just as we finish, just as I finish praying, just that whole thing about how you won't violate our will. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you that you're willing, you're waiting, and you're waiting for us to say yes to you. But you love us so much that you won't impose yourself upon us. But Lord, we give you permission to come, to impose upon us. We want to take that partnership, Lord. We want to walk in that partnership with you and remain obedient to the love that you have for us. Amen.